This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Kusu Chuang and Noel Lim. For now, though, we're turning our attention to a detente between the government coalition and Pakatan Harapan. Yesterday, Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob and the opposition PACT Pakatan Harapan agreed to work together to strengthen the parliamentary institution and the executive to function transparently to effectively serve the people.
Right. So Ismail, in a joint statement with PKR President Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, as well as Amanah President Muhammad Sabu and DAP SecGen Lim Guan Eng, said that the meeting was a follow-up to the advice by the Yang di-Pertuan Agong for all political parties to work together to ease any political tensions. So after the meeting, Dato' Sri Anwar told reporters that if the opposition suggestions were considered, PH would not complicate an upcoming vote of confidence for Ismail.
And of course, this apparent truce with Ismail Sabri's government came after PH called for opposition parties to collaborate under a big tent strategy, obviously to galvanise forces against the ruling coalition. PH issued a statement saying that it will hold a meeting with all opposition party leaders in the near future, including inviting them to join or work together.
So are we seeing the beginnings of a broader bipartisan approach to Malaysian politics? We're turning to YB Wong Chen, Member of Parliament for Subang and PKR Insider, for the lowdown. Good morning, Wong Chen. Thanks as always for speaking to us. So leaders of Pakatan Harapan met with Prime Minister Datuk Sri Ismail yesterday, signalling a move towards bipartisan cooperation. How do you see this cooperation taking shape moving forward?
Well, moving forward, I think the document clearly rules out any form of unity government. Right. As you all rightly said, it hints about the government conceding some parliamentary reforms to enhance democracy. So there may be some real reforms coming our way. It's hard to say at the moment because there's nothing really concrete yet. I suppose that there's going to be a lot of meetings. As an insider knowledge for most of you, there are ongoing meetings, and we have to keep an open mind. I would say that we have to think much, much bigger than a transactional CSA model and emphasize more and more on fundamental reforms. Having said all this, we need to recognize that the meeting happened on the urging of the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, having cautioned government to work together and end this political crisis.
Pakatan Harapan leaders, some of them have been approached to get involved in COVID-19 as well as the National Recovery Councils. It sounds good on paper, but do you think it will actually have any teeth? Will PH leaders have any real say?
I think there will be an opportunity for participation and inclusiveness, provided, of course, that the numbers are correct. I mean, if you have a council of, say, 21 people, then, maybe the best formula should be 7 from Pakatan, 7 from government, and then 7 from real experts and, out there, scientists and stuff, public health professionals. But it has to be down to the details of it. What are these powers and what is the level of participation? Because we do have a lot of good ideas too.
Yeah, Wong Chen, although Ismail Sabri said no unity government, but he said there's places for opposition parties within the various committees and other groups like that. What kind of role do you think that you can play on an active basis to basically help influence policy in the right direction?
Well, as opposition, our job is to really strengthen the parliamentary select committees so that we can monitor and get full explanation from the ministers in charge. But more importantly, we can also propose ideas for them to accept. So the way I look at it is, no unity government, that's perfectly fine. In fact, that's the proper way. But can we look at something beyond, standard transactional CSA? Can we have real reforms? Then we can really look at how to reorganize parliament properly and provide checks and balance and then enhance overall policy making in the country.
Wong Chen, can I ask about expectations for the confidence vote? So the Yang di-Pertuan Agong had said that the new prime minister should be subjected to a confidence vote when parliament reopens in September. I mean, do we know if these plans are still on track? Should we expect the confidence vote to be held? And given this truce between Pakatan Harapan and Ismail Sabri, are we then going to see that, they'll hold off from voting against the government for now?
I think the idea now is, if we are serious. No, I mean, first thing is the confidence vote has to take place. That's how you show legitimacy of government. Leading to that confidence vote, there should be a lot more negotiations and discussion. What are they offering in terms of reforms? you know, this cannot be a transactional thing, a CSA, as I say, maybe a CSA plus, 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 something much bigger, something much more fundamental. So we would like to hear what the government is going to propose. And obviously, the Pakatan will have to have their own internal meetings within PKR, within DEP, within Amanah, and then together as a group as well. So it's going to be a very, very busy next few days, I would imagine, if this is really serious. I mean, the meeting yesterday seems to indicate some sort of understanding to explore something.
Well, Chen, Malaysians are just sick of politicians and politicking, right? What we care about is the rejuvenation of the economy. And of course, the budget 2022 is coming up. What role do you think you guys can play in the opposition to really put forward a budget which works for everybody and bring the economy around this time?
Okay, yeah. Well, we have to relook at the entire system, how budget is made. I mean, budget in Malaysia is done in complete secrecy by the government. They want to spend and they want to do mega projects as they like. And then they just table it in October. You know, that's entirely wrong. What we should have is we should have ministerial select committees where the ministerial select committees are briefed on the early budget or initial budget planning as early as June. Then, you know, they can give back give feedback in July, August. That's how you get inclusive government, right? Then we can knock out all the irrelevant mega development projects at the early stage. So I think, you know, this is an opportunity, once in a lifetime opportunity, where the government has said that they intend to engage us. Then let's look at reforms. Let's look at how to reform the way budget is set, rather than I coming and tell you, you know, we need 65 billion for this, 10 billion for that. That's not going to work. What we need is the select committees to sit down with each individual ministries and discuss the budget thoroughly.
Well, leopards don't really change their spots. And assuming that happens again, what's the chances of you guys being able to vote it down in Parliament?
Well, if we vote down the budget and they lose, and then they have the, some sort of internal sabotage, which is what they're really afraid about, right? You know, unhappiness within the coalition. Then the government ceases to exist again, because a defeat of the budget essentially means it's a no-confidence vote. Then we go back into another crisis. So I think the situation is such that there is ample opportunity to squeeze out some fundamental reforms here.
Well, continuing on this point, there's a last-ditch effort to win support. Tan Sri Muhyiddin had proposed a raft of reforms, which seems sensible, like restricting the Prime Minister's term. How likely will Sabri follow up on these proposals?
I hope that Sabri will give plus-plus to this CSA. We don't know what the CSA that Muhyiddin and DAP MPs pursued until today. But from just looking and hearing what it is, it's a bit, it's not substantial enough. Yeah. The times have changed. So Ismail Sabri, in order to set up a new, more stable government, and with the Agong having stated that he wants to see, you know, some reforms, then obviously we have to ask for something more fundamental, not just for this period of time, we support you, we get some sort of allocation. I think that's beyond that. That should be out of the picture. In fact, you should just sit down and say, look, let's pass some real laws, let's amend the constitution, let's get the legislation bit done as well.
Wong Chen, I think I like what I'm hearing in the sense that there seems to be at least a channel is open for this kind of cooperative discussions. I get that there's nothing really firmed up yet and we everything's still playing out and everyone's still talking. But it seems that there's a reason to be cautiously optimistic moving forward, you know, moderately.
No. Yeah, absolutely. That's because it's very simple. The CSA works in a minority government environment. This government has a majority. They, in fact, don't have to pursue a CSA or ask anything like that. What they're doing is that all of us are aware that everyone's tired of politics, and the king has stated very clearly he wants to have stability. So that opens up the opportunity for real reforms in this country. This is really a unique situation.
Indeed. I do want to ask, though, Wong Chen, about PKR, and I suppose PKR's role in the whole political turmoil, because yes, although Langkah Sheraton sparked everything, the fact of the matter is all political parties are complicit in the kind of political upheaval we've been seeing for the last 18 months. So I'm wondering if there's any soul-searching within the party as to how Pakatan Harapan can actually become a formidable and effective opposition.
Well, within the party, I mean, the fallout is really due to the fact the Azmin faction left and betrayed us. And, you know, in any major fallout like this, you know, soul searching is still an ongoing process. And as recent as March this year, we had three MPs defecting still to Azmin, right? So I would say that within PKR, we are trying to sort things out. And as they say, time heals everything, right? And the PKR is steadily healing. We are ready because we do have technocrats and we do have good leadership to contribute a lot more to PH going forward.
All right, Wong Chen, thanks so much for weighing in on this. Always a pleasure to speak to you. And we will be watching very closely to see what comes out of these bipartisan discussions. Hopefully it is for the betterment of the country. That was Wong Chen, Member of Parliament for Subang and Member of PKR. What are your takeaways from what he said?
Yeah, I think soul searching is the right word. And I don't mean it's also for Pakatan Harapan, it's also for Perikatan. But, you know, Pakatan has 2 years to do that soul searching before it hits GE15. And hopefully by then they have a solid strategy behind them. I think they need to just put this event about Azmin Ali leaving the party because the train has left the station, right? And so they just have to get on with it. And my question really is the departure of Bersatu from Pakatan Harapan does leave a vacuum of an all-Malay party, and how will Pakatan Harapan continue to, you know, garner that mass electorate support?
So these are questions that we're going to be asking in the days, weeks, months ahead. You can be sure on that. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.